Welcome back to the final hour of The Hard Shoulder. And regular listeners on their way home this at the end of the week, every Friday at this time, we take a look back at the stories that got us talking, giving out over the past 7 days. And it's a great pleasure to welcome to what we call the final furlong, Terry Prone, Chair of the Communication Clinic, to me, the Queen of Spin, the person who shrinks your head, Sabina Brennan, psychologist, Trinity Brain Health, Adapt Centre of TCD, proper posh, and my old mucker here, Kieran Cuddy, presenter of On The Record on News Talk, and every Sunday from 11 o'clock till 1 o'clock. But Kieran,
yes,
as I know with this competition for, we're doing this joint promotion competition for Weekends Away, you've been doing breakfast as well. Early morning week, is a wreck in your head?
Not too bad. I'm doing breakfast all next week, actually. But I think Shane and Paul, just at their advanced years, they take a break.
You're right.
Every now and then.
I gave it
you know?
Up. So do you have small children? Is it a problem getting up early in the morning?
No, get up. The alarm goes at 4 o'clock, hit the road, get up. It's not too bad. I'm coming up from Kilkenny. The editor comes in from Cabin Teely or Carrick Mines, yeah, and leaves at about 10, gets up at 4:10.
Right.
So not much difference.
So what time do you go to bed at?
Oh, I nap when I get home. That's
all
the key.
Right.
And then you go to bed maybe between 9 and 10.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes I might get into bed with the 2-year-old at about 7
now,
and fall asleep.
I know, Ms. Prone, that you are a really early riser. What time do you set the alarm for? Or do you naturally wake at what time?
No, I set the alarm for 4 o'clock each morning.
And it's the dark when you're getting up. Do you not feel like animals that are humans are supposed to be asleep when it's dark?
That's possible. I don't think much about animals or nature as far as I go as a tree, you know. But I got addicted to it because my wonderful husband was the presenter of It Says in the Paper.
That's right.
On the Mothership,
yeah,
for about 15 years. And he was getting up at that time. And in the beginning, I got up in solidarity. And then I discovered nobody bothers you at that time of the day. That's when you can write your novel. That's when you can write your non-fiction book. That's when you can go through the entire...
And no one will pester you.
Nobody's going near
but
you.
But is there not a problem that if you do that Monday to Friday, on a Saturday, Sunday, your body wakes up and says, Terry, it's time to go at 4 a.m. So you actually, it's a way of life.
Well, I do it on Saturday and Sunday,
yeah,
anyway.
Right.
And also it does help that, yeah, I don't have a social life. I don't think if you lived a real life that you could do it.
Okay. Is this bad for your brain, Sabina?
Sleep is really important for your brain, and it's not just the quantity, the quality when you get the sleep is important too, because memories are consolidated in the early part of the night and integrated with your past experiences in the early morning, which is why sometimes you can wake up and suddenly have the answer to a problem or a question or insight. Or so I like to write very early in the morning too, not quite.
But there's
fortified.
Early and there's early.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, the thing is, though, you just mentioned about sleeping at the weekend. Good sleep hygiene. It's a funny way to describe it, but
hygiene?
That's what's huge. Yeah, it's called sleep hygiene.
That's a whole other program, isn't
good,
it?
Good
yeah,
sleep
yeah,
habits.
Changing the sheets or what?
Yeah. Like. Good sleep habits would dictate that you go to bed and get up at the same time every day. Your brain doesn't know Saturdays and Sundays. So it's
how
not
often
good
do you
do
change
that.
The sheets, Terry? All right, let's go to our first topic. Another of the PC merchants. The most PC prime minister in the whole world, of course, is the Canadian guy, Justin Trudeau. He's so cool, it's unbelievable. Well, he interrupted a woman who said the phrase mankind and suggested the substitute of peoplekind should be used instead. The comment came as Mr. Trudeau took questions during a visit to the UN University in Edmonton, Canada on Thursday. Have a listen to Justin.
Policies that religious charitable organizations have in our legislation so that it can also be changed, because maternal love is the love that's going to change the future of mankind. So we'd like you to look
at that. We'd like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind, because it's more inclusive.
There we go.
What say you, Kieran? Should we get rid of mankind?
Nothing bores the arse off me like people giving out about PC gone too far.
Okay.
Like yourself and Paul Williams. This,
okay.
Oh, PC madness.
Okay.
Like, there's nothing wrong with political correctness. Political correctness is about being non-offensive. Like, if you're offending people, you're doing something wrong.
Is mankind offensive?
No, it's not. Like, this is the problem. Where it goes too far, it's not political correctness. It's perceived offence is what. Once you're into the realm of perceived offence, but no one's actually offended, then it's gone too far. I don't think anyone's actually offended.
It sounds to me like you have a foot in the PC camp and the non-PC camp. So, like, mankind
actually, I love to do a bit of research for this. Yeah. Mankind, the root of the word mankind, the etymology
it's
of
to do
it,
with
it
human, comes. Is it?
Yeah, it's to do, well, it's actually man was an auto-hyponym, which means the word in Anglo-Saxon terms, which meant it was like duck or fox or dog. It actually referred
to
everything.
The will to live here.
Yeah, but you know the way you say duck, but it actually you're referring to for all ducks, but there's a duck and a drake and a fox, you have a fox and a vixen and a dog, you have a dog and a bitch.
What about Adam and Eve?
Terry,
you've your head in your hands on this. What's your take? Because you, as chair of the communication clinic, is neither chairwoman, chairperson or chairman.
It's perfectly clear to me, Ivan, that you have not looked at our letterhead. Because if you looked at the letterhead of the communications clinic, you would find me described thereon as chairman. Because chairman is a title and it is a weakening of that in my view. The minute you hear somebody is a chairperson, you know it's a woman. So why don't we either say chairman or chairwoman? But in this instance, I chose to be chairman. It's an issue that I think, going back to Trudeau for a minute, it is unacceptable ever for a politician to reprove one of the audience, one of his constituents, on such a trivial issue, especially when he's proving himself to be illiterate, because the alternative to mankind is not frigging people kind, it's humankind, which we have used for generations. There is another thing, though, that I feel strongly about. I have, for the last decade, every time I referred to somebody who worked in the theatre, I would call them an actor, whether they were male or female. And there was a fascinating interview in The Guardian last week with an actress who described herself as an actress. And she said, and I quote, "I don't know where it came from, this effing notion that putting ESS on the end makes us weak. I would be no less afraid of a lioness than a lion." And I thought, sister, you are so right. I'm going to call actresses from now on. But I am going to go for humankind rather than mankind. I think it's just more general.
Now I'm thinking mistresses. I'm thinking mister. I mean, like, you've gone into a whole world.
Well, if you want to discuss mistresses, Ivan, I'm with you all the way. Because I believe that the mistress is the most denigrated figure in history. So have me back at some stage and I'll talk to you. If you look at the people, for example, Mussolini didn't die with his wife. The woman who ended up hanging upside down from a garage with him was his mistress. Let's not knock mistresses, okay. Ivan.
I wouldn't dare. Sabina.
Ivan.
Please be outraged about this.
Well, as a current chair of Age Friendly Trinity Working Group and as a former actor... They're the phrases that I've used to describe myself. So I always called myself an actor because I felt that there was a sculptor, you know.
But you're prince and princess.
Yeah, and I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with the CESS, surely.
Do you know what? At the end of the day, I'm really not hung up on it. But going back to... But I do like chair because that describes the function that you carry out. You chair the committee.
Oh, I thought and you that's said actually the singer.
Chair.
Yeah, okay.
Chair. Because that's what you do. That's the action that you take. You chair the meetings.
But it's not much to do about very little. Or is this very important?
With Trudeau, no, I think there's some issues where language is hugely important and I would fall into the PC brigade on some of those issues. However, I do think, I mean, and I really do like Mr. Trudeau, but some of his shine really came off for two reasons. I thought he was quite rude.
Yeah. Would you say Leo sent him a text to congratulate him?
It was rude and it was condescending.
Yeah.
Having said that, I did find that the things that the woman said were actually very sexist. Like, I mean, why is it only eternal love that's going to save the world? I just thought that, but that's kind of somehow being ignored. The second reason that a little bit of polish came off Trudeau for me was that he later apologised that his lame joke had gone wrong. Come here. That was
He meant it as, he said afterwards he meant it as a joke.
He said afterwards he meant it as a joke. Now, I'm sorry, that's lame. Put your hands up. Say, look, I took it too far. I said it's stupid and you'll get my respect. Try and pull it off as a joke and you lose a little bit of your polish.
And can a man be a feminist?
Absolutely.
Terry?
If we do not have a majority of men who are feminists, we are lost.
Right. Kieran, you are a feminist. You're
well,
a paid
of course,
up member.
Absolutely, you should be.
Ivan,
but that's
just
about equality.
Can I define feminism for you? Feminism means women are as equal as men. What's your problem with that?
And right. A lot of the time better.
Who said I had a problem?
Your listeners.
Right, okay. My panel putting me right on feminism and actresses and actors and everything. Kieran Cuddy, Sabina Brennan and Terry Prone. Well, we want to turn now to the Oireachtas Petitions Committee. This is a new one on me. Apparently, any Joe or Josephine soap can write into this committee. It's chaired by Sean Sherlock, Labour TD. And you can say, I want this done, I want that done. Well, someone wrote it. You don't have to have 1,000 signatures or even 2 signatures. They had a request this week that the statue of Prince Albert would be removed from the Merrion Square side of Leinster House Garden. The petitioner was seeking its removal based on the fact that it represents British rule over Ireland. Well, here's what the chairman of the committee had to say, Sean Sherlock.
We rejected the petition on the basis that the members took the view that from a political point of view, you cannot purge your past. You have to have we took the view that it has been there for quite some time. It was under the auspices of the Royal Dublin Society when they owned Leinster House. And we also took the view then that, you know, our past is very complex and that instead of, as it were, tearing out the pieces of history or the pages of history, you actually turn the pages of history. So you let the statue where it is. And what we've actually sought to do now is to seek a clarification on the ownership of the statue and let Albert lie where he is.
But are you saying in any event, even if you found it was within your powers, you're not minded to get rid of it?
We're not minded to get rid of it, absolutely
okay.
not.
Okay, Sabina. You see, you're from Trinity College.
Yes.
And they'd have lots of odds and sods of British relics and things like that.
I'm only a blow-in, you know. I mean,
are you getting rid of them? Purging these?
I'm
because
not.
The birds are pooing on them. There's lots of problems. And
I
Queen
love
Vicar,
birds.
Queen Vic, in the 40s, they actually got rid of her and sent it off to Sydney, Australia.
Wow.
Should they Albert go too?
They blew up Nelson's pillar in O'Connell Street too, didn't they? I think everybody had a little piece of that under their kitchen sink.
No, but is it time to get the Brits out?
Oh God, that's an entirely different question than one about statues. I'm for, you know, that they're part of our history. And
you're a kind of West Brit, are you?
Well, I have a very mixed heritage, if I'm honest. And I think it gives you quite a perspective. On one side of the family, we would have very poor emigrants who went on the City of Dresden ship to Argentina, where the story of emigrants is far, far more dreadful than any story in America. We lost, you know, lots and lots of lives on that particular ship that my grandparents, great-grandfather actually, and great-grandparents went on. On another side, I have a grandfather who fought during 1916. But then
well, we don't have to go into all your
family. No, but I just want to explain. But then his wife, my grandmother, her father would have been landed gentry from the UK.
Because
so,
we have
so,
off the ball at seven, you know what
no.
I mean? We don't have all night. But the point I'm trying to make is, are you for the statue staying or going?
Staying.
Kieran.
Yes.
What do you think? I mean, like, the thing that shocked me,
yeah.
because every day I come in, I learn something new.
Mm.
Sean Moncrief said, a Prince Albert. And I didn't know what a Prince Albert
was.
Oh, yes.
No, I didn't know what it was. I still don't know what it
was.
But it's very naughty, apparently.
Before the watershed, yeah. It involves piercings.
Yeah, on men.
Yeah,
their body
absolutely.
Parts, yeah.
My reaction...
Henry would say private parts.
My reaction when I heard it first was, you shouldn't move it anywhere. Like, it's a bit Orwellian, I think. And it's a simplification of history to suggest that, you know, this represents, you know, 800 years of foreign oppression, you know, as opposed to the last 100 years of beautiful, perfect Celtic liberty or something. When you know, it's much more nuanced than that. But actually, I was convinced by Manix Flynn earlier in the week. He was on Breakfast and he made a good point. He said, we're not talking about destroying it. That's not what the petition was for. But it's tucked away in the corner of on the Merrion Street side. There's shrubs around it. No one ever stops to look at it. No one actually knows it's there. There's an argument that it should be moved, and he suggested moving it to somewhere like Collins Barracks, and then you have it in context.
But nobody at all is here.
Well, no, as in it's part of the National Museum up there. Like, it'll be an exhibit that people will go and see it. That actually it's not doing anything at the moment. Nobody can see it.
Yeah.
But I absolutely wouldn't be in favour of destroying these things.
Okay. Terry Prone.
I think one of the sweetest men in the Oireachtas is Jerry Buttermer. And Jerry Buttermer came out during the week to do a thing that said, really, Prince Albert was a good egg underneath it all, that he was against slavery and a whole load of things. Now, Jerry didn't prove that Prince Albert had actually achieved anything by being against slavery. But my problem with Prince Albert being there, or indeed with the statues of Dublin, is I don't mind that much the British Empire being represented, but I wish we would draw the line at wife beaters and child sex molesters.
Like who?
Like Prince...
The floozy and the jacuzzi?
No, I am deadly serious. I am deadly serious on this. First of all, Prince Albert beat Queen Victoria. Now, I don't think that we should have a statue of somebody, a man who raised his hand to a woman. I feel very strongly about that. The fact is that she raised her hand to him too, but that's a side issue. The second thing
is... Is this well established?
Absolutely well established.
Because that didn't feature in the discussion. You
it
know,
never
the
featured
ITV
in
show.
The television programmes either. We just got all of the romance. The second thing is that we have a statue of a child sex abuser right in the middle of our capital city. I find that unacceptable.
William, this is Prince Albert?
He was just a wife beater, which is bad enough.
Right.
William Smith O'Brien was a remarkably ineffective revolutionary in the 19th century. He was one of the Young Irelanders. And because he didn't succeed in almost anything, he got transported to Van Diemen's Land. In Van Diemen's Land, the governor was incredibly good to him. And effectively, he was just a man in a nice climate with a little house of his own grand. And he repaid the governor by seducing and having regular sex with the governor's 14-year-old daughter. Now, don't tell me, oh, well, that was in the 19th century. The reason we know about it is that the police in Australia got in on the act. They observed him, they caught him at it, and eventually they couldn't really punish him anymore. I find it astonishing, given, and Sabina will undoubtedly support me on this, given the irreparable and lifelong damage that we know is done to people because of child sex abuse. I find it astonishing that we don't even register that we have a statue of a child sex abuser right in the middle of the capital
but
city.
I think that's a good argument, though, in favour of what Manix Flynn is talking about. Like, if you take that away from where it is and you put it in, say, like, where there's context around it, and then, it adds nuance to our understanding of what would be termed revolutionary heroes. Like, that's a simplification in itself. Like, I don't... Like, that's... statue of William Smith O'Brien, I don't think should be destroyed either. Well, I think it should be moved, and it should be put somewhere where there's context put into it.
Let's assume that both of these guys have exceeded their shelf life. Let's take them respectfully down. I think, Ivan, it was Queen Victoria was sent to Sydney in Australia in 1987. Why don't we telephone Sydney and say, would you like her partner? Send him off to her. Grand, the two can be united.
If you go dig up the past, Terry, where do you stop?
I'll tell you where you stop. You take the two shelves that those two guys were on and you put some women on them. Can I suggest two? One of them should be Dr. James Barry. Dr. James Barry was a woman, an Irish woman, who passed as a man in the British Army as a surgeon for 30 years. If you put her up on Prince Albert's plinth, then you're saying women in Ireland mattered right back then. Medics in Ireland were important. And you know something? We register the importance of transgender people too. What an opportunity. Tell me you're not for that, Ivan.
But don't we have Countess Markovic and lots
of
good statues around?
Oh, give me a break.
No,
give me a break.
She was 150 years born this week or something.
I'm so thrilled. She is not the only woman. We don't have Lady Gregory, who basically pulled together the Abbey Theatre, even though Yeats got most of the credit.
We'll probably get one of Mary Robinson and Mary McAleese put up too.
But what about people who have a genuine, interesting, going back to Kieran saying, a genuine, interesting context.
Didn't Rosie Hackett get a bridge named after? Like, we are trying to do our best this generation. Do you know what I mean,
not
to put it right?
Your best is not half good enough.
I got that. Okay, Terry Prone, Sabina Brennan and Kieran Cuddy are staying with me. We'll have lots to come. And what was happening inside the Dáil as opposed to the Leinster Lawn, it'll be shortly coming up. Welcome back to The Hard Shoulder. My final furlong panellists are still with me, Kieran Cuddihy, Sabina Brennan and Terry Prone. Well, we were speaking about the offensive statues and Prince Albert, but inside the doll, there was an absolute schmozzle.
Action if it's necessary.
Sorry, yes. I want to
set up
the Sligo
Leitrim. Sorry, listen, you're all circumventing the regulations.
This is a disgrace.
I'll suspend the House.
Suspend it if you like.
Deputy McSharry, don't speak to Deputy McSharry. Deputy McSharry, you will not speak to the chair like that.
Well, as you can hear, there was uproar. It was about speaking rights. And apparently people had cards numbered 1 to 20. And I think the basic point is that a handful of independents like the Healy Rays and Matty McGrath are dominating the order of business. And questions to Leo Varadkar. This went viral. It was on Sky News. It turned our national parliament into a pantomime. I put it to you, Kieran Cuddy, that this was in fact a disgrace.
Yeah, it was a bit of crack though, wasn't it? Like, I think we all enjoyed it. Do you know what? We did. Actually, everyone enjoyed it. And then what happened was, one thing happened and it betrayed what is one of the least attractive traits in Irish people, and it's this hang-up we have about what other people think about us. If we were genuinely embarrassed by that, we would have been embarrassed as soon as it happened, but we didn't. People had a laugh, they shared it, they said, oh, did you see what I was in here in work? I said, did you see what happened to the doll last night? People had a joke about it, about the Healy Rays joking about your man coming down to Kilgarvan looking for votes. It was only when it turns up on BBC and Sky News, suddenly we're embarrassed. We're not embarrassed that it happened. We're embarrassed that other people have found out about it and we think it makes us look bad. It's one of the worst things you see in Ireland.
Well, put it like this. I mean, I spent 21 years of my life, which I'll never get back, in that august chamber. And the point I'm making, Sabina, is that, you know, it has always been the case that you have kind of mock indignation about constituency matters and people being suspended and thrown out and all that kind of amateur dramatics. But there is a point at which some of the stuff, and I was on telly berating Michael Healy Ray, it was more suited to Frank's, Frank Call's Pictorial Weekly, to Bally McGash. A lot of the stuff, and the actual case he was raising about six farmers who didn't get paid some money before Christmas, was literally more suitable to Kerry County Council. And I think this is beyond dumbing down. Our Parliament has been turned into a pantomime, surely.
Well, I think they're like Pod and Raj, except they're just not funny. I mean, I actually am embarrassed. I'm embarrassed before it goes elsewhere. I mean,
before
I think
Sky tells you.
Yeah, I think we've talked about the fairies causing the potholes before down the road by the Healy Rays, etc. So, no, I do find it. I do find it an embarrassment. And
there is a substantive issue, which is that look, there's 158 TDs in the doll. They can't all speak at once. And Fianna Fáil happen to have 45 TDs, and the Healy Rays have two TDs.
Yeah, and the thing is, in fairness, they made the point that they're both elected in their own right. And that is a fair point. That's true. But I think there's a system flaw here, two big system flaws. There's a bigger issue that you've just touched on, which the people are elected locally to govern nationally. And we really just need to change our whole system, because what happens is you turn our national forum into an issue about small local issues that you said should be handled by county
and which
councils.
Go down great on Kerry Radio or the Kerryman newspaper.
Yeah, no, and they're important issues. It's not that they're not important,
but they're not national issues.
The second thing is that they're trialling this new system of early bird catches the worm. And that's good too, you try it out. It doesn't seem to be working very well. I'd love to know whether any of your listeners have done an analysis to see, because the accusation that was being made by McSharry was that they're hogging the question time. Yeah. So I'd love to know, has anybody done an analysis of the proportion of time that people are actually taking? Because sometimes we think
I can tell you here and now that Matty McGrath and a handful of them are hogging it to the numbers. What happens is you have the leader of Fianna Fáil gets his spake in and a second Fianna Fáil can't get in then because it goes to the independents.
So but then am I being oversimplistic to say that it should be a timer issue? You know, you get a proportionate of time and then that forces you to be efficient in your language, make your points clearly, stop this nonsense of, you know, just hugging time for the sake of it.
Now, you can do fulmination, Terry Prone. fulminate on this or not?
No, I won't fulminate on it. And I think that this is an opportunity, certainly for me, to do what doesn't happen often enough on live radio, which is to say, this is an idiotic subject. You've already said it's an idiotic subject. I'm not talking about it. What I will say, however, is that something really good happened in Leinster.
What side of
Leinster.
The bed did you get out of at 4 o'clock this morning?
The sheets were so clean, Ivan. One guy who I'd never heard of before, named Collins, did a big...
Michael Collins of South West Cork. Yeah, he's an independent.
Yeah.
Of the namesake and of the great man.
He got ratty about something that
closing
it was
the
so
door
right.
Brown.
The idea that at long last our legislators are beginning to address the huge national problem that we have with alcohol, and at the same time over here they have not one but two bars is ridiculous. He was right. They need
he was
to
right.
be closed.
You're for closing the door
oh,
bar.
Absolutely.
But I mean, like, hold on a second. If I'm a TD from Kerry, we'll just say, and a crowd come up from Dingle and they've gone to an awful lot of trouble, maybe overnighted, and they'd love to have a cup of tea or even a pint in the Dáil bar, the visitors' bar. Well, isn't it nice to have somewhere to bring them?
I didn't say close the restaurant. I said close the bar.
Right. You're so... I mean, like, you really are turning Mother Superior on me now. I mean, for God's sake, can we not have a little bit of hospitality in our Parliament?
Let us have no religious snidery on your part, Ivan. The fact is...
Not to speak of the members' bar, where you can do hugger-mugger when you're doing the deep-throat stuff of maybe doing in your leader.
Can I point out to you, Ivan, that people come in to see you every day in this esteemed radio station. You're not in a position to buy them a pint. Similarly, dozens of people come to me in my workplace, thanks be to God, and they pay me money. Again, I don't have a bar where I can buy them a pint. And you know what?
And you tell me our the PR sector doesn't do schmoozing and drinkies and all that kind of thing? Of course they do.
Ivan, you're always answering a question that hasn't been asked.
I have to say I'm with Terry on right. this one around the alcohol. We have to address our dysfunctional relationship with alcohol in this country. And when you talk about it in the context of the dog or the workplace, alcohol has no place, and it has no place where people are taking votes and discussing serious issues, because alcohol impairs your judgment. We're human beings. The thing that separates us out, as Kieran was talking about earlier, as man, as distinct from, you know, rodents or whatever, is that we have this really well-developed frontal lobes in our brain. Okay. And that's the thing that allows us to make really smart decisions, and that gets switched off and impaired with alcohol consumption.
Well, I'm going to switch you off now because we've got to go to the news.